1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show, and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. If you're backstage pass a holder, there's a special little place on the website you can click, and I'll give you a try and give you a personal reply. Not always, but I do try. If you email 100 times, doesn't mean you're going to get 100 replies. I do see email from the same people. Hey Phil, another thing. I was wondering, are you available for coffee a week from next month? And you know. To which I say, well, yeah, I am, as a matter of fact, but please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anyone that I have absolutely nothing to do but sit and play Madden 2004. All right. Now, I wanted to tell this story because yesterday was, and this hour, by the way, we're having our listener flashback by request here on the Phil Hendry Show. Also, what's up with Florence Henderson's teeth? We'll be discussing this and more. What is up with that? With all due respect to my sponsor. Is it Polident? And I do appreciate Polident's patronage, I really do. When Ms. Henderson was recording that commercial, do you suppose somebody in the engineering staff, the producer, anybody could have said, how's about just taking a sip of water there, Flo? Just a little bit of a sip. If you've heard the commercial, it's like, I'm throwing candy, and you can hear it. It's like, oh, God. You know. Polident, I bet it works. You still got some, like, stuck to the inside of your gums, everything, you know. It's so good, you can't even open your mouth without it making a noise. Well, I guess when you open your mouth, it's supposed to make a noise, but that's called your voice, not your gum stuck to your teeth, glued to your teeth. You know, everybody, it's always, I told you the story when I was sitting in a Chinese restaurant, and I heard a guy behind me, every S, when he was talking, every time he enunciated the syllable, the S, not the syllable, the consonant S, it was a whistle. So, Sally, you know? And gradually, I'm trying to concentrate on the chop suey in front of me, and at the time, I was with a rather lovely lady who was my date. This was many years ago. And she was holding forth about her life and her interests, and I'm hearing this guy behind me going, hey, soy sauce, you know, and, you know, and so I'm doing one of those Arthur Kennedy slow burns, just, so, and not only that, but he was leaning into the person he was talking to, almost as we do when we're speaking in confidence to somebody, leaning across the table and saying, Sam, see? And I looked at the guy he was talking to, and you could see the guy's eye twitching and his face, you know, like he was ready to do a Bakersfield chimp. That's going to become the new term, by the way. Instead of going postal, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to go Bakersfield chimp on you if you don't watch it. By the way, that's going to be our new line of the month. Look at our website tomorrow. Messing with a NASCAR fan is like messing with a Bakersfield chimp. Vernon Dozier. It's a beautiful thing. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So we have our flashback coming up. Yesterday was the LA Marathon. And all across the country, you know about the Boston Marathon, the New York Marathon. They have 10Ks in all the major cities. And all over America, we're into marathoning. And I think it's great because what it does is it encourages and it inspires people, I guess, to stay physically fit. But I got to tell you about the very first LA Marathon. I was here in 1986 in March, and I was going to go to the racetrack that day. And I was working at that time at a radio station playing mellow rock, and it was on Hollywood Boulevard. And I got off the air because I'd been doing the overnight show. So I get off the air at about 7. And I was in the parking lot of the radio station that bordered Hollywood Boulevard. And I said, oh, I know what I need to do. I want to get a newspaper. So I got into my car, and I crossed southerly, in a southerly direction, Hollywood Boulevard. Well, that was the biggest mistake I could have made. Because I'd forgotten that that day would commence the Los Angeles Marathon, And just as I crossed Hollywood Boulevard, the L.A. cops closed it off for all northerly direction traffic because the runners started. Now, I had an engagement to go to the Santa Anita racetrack that day for the races, and it was actually it was a date. I had to pick this girl up in, I forget, the Valley. So now I can't, all I did was make, oh, I want to go over there and I'm going to get a newspaper. So I crossed the street at about 7:30, 7:45 in the morning, and the next thing when I turned my car around to go back, there's a cop with the white LAPD helmet and the boots going, no. All right, so now I said, okay, wait a minute, this can't be. I began what turned out to be about a five-hour effort at getting out of Hollywood, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't go south, I couldn't go north, I couldn't go east, and I couldn't go west. Everywhere I went, every street I took was closed off for this race. And it was that day that I learned to hate the LA Marathon, hate it with every breath, hate it with every waking moment. I don't know if they still close off the streets the way they do. I don't even know if it's still a circular route. And let me ask you a question. It may today be the most user-friendly race in terms of both spectator and athlete around, but back then, the guy that invented the course for this race obviously wasn't taking into consideration that people may want to actually get out of there. That, you know, hi, that's nice you're having a race. Do you mind if I go up here and go to a doctor's appointment that I have to get a tumor removed from my brain? Well, I'm sorry, the track's just, you know, this whole thing's closed. Well, do you mind if I just, no, you can't. I begged cops. I pleaded with them. I openly bribed them. I openly bribed one cop with a $100 bill. Please, man, there's no runners coming. I can't do it, man. You got to just... Dude, what's it take, man, to lift the freaking barrier here? You're just going to have to go back, you know, blah, 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 all the by-the-book stuff, right? I went, tried to get up to the Hollywood Hills, couldn't do that. Tried to go down. At that point, I would have driven through carjack territory. I would have gone right through Southgate, if that's what it took. Anything, something to get out of there. Now, I haven't made the mistake of going down there. I haven't made the mistake of going anywhere near L.A. during an L.A. marathon ever since then. And I remember as I was standing there, I was standing there because my car was stopped. I didn't know what to do. I was standing like the frustrated man at the side of the road kicking a car, you know, that has...
Why did you ram the barrier or something?
What?
Why didn't you ram it?
Ram what?
The barricade. You kind of busted on through like the A-team.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that would have been great.
Could have just run the cop over and made a run for it.
Believe me, I thought about it, Dickman. I thought long and hard about it. I got in my car. I sat there staring through the window at that cop as he just stood there. And I wanted to make... Sometimes, you know, I believe the police are great. I'm a big supporter of the police. Sometimes, though, you look at a cop and you think, what are you doing, man? Like, coming out of... another classic example of when you stare at a cop and you go, what do you do for a living again? Is when you're coming out of Miami's Pro Player Park after a Dolphin game. Now, I'm admittedly, my information's 10 years old, but back then, you'd look at these cops around it, the Miami-Dade cops back then, around Pro Player Park with 80 million cars coming out of it, 90 million people, half of them drunk, and these guys are standing there picking their nose and showing each other the new wristwatch. They ain't doing anything. And guys are going in circles, they're going around. So there I was... Until finally, I saw my opening. There were cones, not what do you call them? What are those things called? Sawhorses. They were traffic cones instead. And there didn't appear to be any police anywhere. And I didn't see any runners. Now, you know these marathons, even if you're 168 years old and your time is, you're doing like 26 miles in 4 days, everyone's like, yay, way to go, you finished it. You held up half the world doing it, but you finished the race. Not me, man. I saw some old guy coming down, and there's all these people, yay! I gunned it right in front of him. And I left the guy running in a cloud of exhaust about the size of Nagasaki, and I think I saw the guy just right after he ran through the exhaust cloud just collapse in a heap. And I made a run for it. I didn't even look at my rearview mirror, man. I just got out of there. It took me 4 hours, though. 4.5 hours to get out of Hollywood. So I you know, to this day, when people say the L.A. Marathon is happening, I always think back to that day, and I always kind of grimace. I always just, oh, geez. And the other thing that was driving me nuts, And I can understand people's enthusiasm, but the runners, not the people, the runners, as they're going down the street, they're going, come on, everybody, this is L.A.'s marathon, cheer us. You know, they were asking people to cheer them. You ever seen that? Usually in a marathon, have you ever run a marathon? I ran a marathon years ago. When you're running, and you've been running for, like, say, 15 miles, now what do you want to do? You want to run, and you want to finish the race, don't you? That's everything that you're thinking in your head. And what are you hearing from the people as you're running by them? You can do it! Go! Go! What the hell do you think I've been doing for 15 miles? Go, man! Come on! Yeah, okay.
What happened with your date? Did you get lucky?
Actually, she was running in the marathon, bud, so I never did. No, I'm not going to tell you, you scumbag. Did I get lucky? Believe me, friend, with me it ain't luck. It's a combination of skill and...
divine intervention.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. Our flashback coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know that Italian journalist that we shot? She's now saying, aren't you supposed to tell the truth when you're a journalist? Isn't that the general idea, that being a journalist? I didn't mean, like, you're not Hunter Thompson. Hunter Thompson's just a brilliant writer. Ain't you supposed to tell the truth? She's out there saying, oh, man, they machine gunned us, and they came up, and they blew the guy's head off point blank, and they did this, and they did that. And they took her out of the plane. She's in a wheelchair, and I hope the lady recovers, sort of. And she said, she's going on and on about what the Yanks did. Hey, how about the guys that kidnapped you? Any bit of news about that? Or is they were about to carve your head off, baby, like it was, like you were a freshly caught trout, like they're ready to gut you, skin you, and pan fry you. And you're belly aching about the Yanks? Yeah, I know. You wouldn't be there in the first place if it wasn't for us. I forgot. Sorry. And then one little comment here about Kirstie Alley, and then we have news about one of the Backstreet Boys arrested for DUI in Huntington Beach. And I'll tell you something. If you're going to get arrested for DUI, I hope it's someplace like Huntington Beach. Where, I would expect it. Kirstie Alley's show, Fat Actress, you know, she's a big fat woman, and she's going to play herself. And I thought, well, isn't this something? Now, what's happened is actors and actresses, stars, celebrities, I should say, recognize that their very lives are what is entertaining, not what they do. Not what they do. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Their lives are interesting. Their lives are far more interesting than any movie they ever made. Think about that. Like Brad Pitt. When's the last time that guy ever made a movie that anybody wanted to see? Would you tell somebody? Tell me. And yet we can't stop talking about him, can't stop looking at him, because it's great stuff. Him and Angelina Jolie and the other one, what's her name? Oh, his wife? Yeah. All right, here it is. Here's our flashback. So Kirstie Alley has decided, I guess, that she can't get a job. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure she can get plenty of jobs. She's a very talented actress. She was in a movie that was very funny. Unfortunately, she wasn't. Drop Dead Gorgeous, you ever see that? Well, about a third of the movie was funny. The two guys, one of them was the retarded brother and the other guy, they were funny. So I'd say about one-tenth of the movie was funny. All right, anyway, here's our flashback. Hey, Phil. It's requested by Kevin Baker in Denver. I would like to hear the bit where Bobby Dooley ties a pair of her underwear while it is a certain time of the month for her to a tree to get the family dog back. She did this because dogs have a great sense of smell, and the dog can find its way home from Bobby's scent. I laughed so hard I cried when I heard this. Please play it again, Kevin Baker, Denver. Didn't we already play this? As a call-in request? Well, here it is, Kevin. This is a flashback request. Bobby Dooley and the panties.
I've been listening to these two mm-hmm. individuals, mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, mm-hmm. and I have never heard a mm-hmm. more insensitive lady in my life. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. lady who hangs yellow ribbons mm-hmm. is because she's hoping that somehow mm-hmm. her son, who's defended this country, mm-hmm. who's dying for this country, mm-hmm. will be back. Mm-hmm. The only one who wants to be a big shot is you, because you said mm-hmm. that in order for this lady to hang the yellow ribbons, she should have come to you and make a some sort of request from the association. You already mentioned about 10 times that you're the president of the association. Did you make a request to the association, ma'am? Even if you're the president, you cannot hang anything unless the association, which I'm sure they have the board of directors, approves it.
Well, I agree with Armando.
So you can do it. You can do it, but this lady cannot. On top of that, the yellow ribbons are pretty because when I see them, I know that there's the life of somebody who's fighting for us and their parents want them to come back. If I see a three pairs of underwear hanging anywhere, any place, and they're put there in order to attract dogs by scent, I imagine that they must be dirty, because if they were washed, they wouldn't have any scent.
That's the point.
It's the dirtiest thing in the world to hang your dirty underwear. And it's not a pun, but it's always said, hanging the dirty underwear. That's what you're doing, lady.
You know, we don't want you in this country.
We don't want you in this country. We don't want you anywhere where children are dying and you're mocking and saying that this lady wants to be a good shot. This lady is crying because her son is missing.
All right, Armando, that's a good point. Let's let Ms. Dooley.
First of all, to listen to this gentleman, you'd think that his wife never had to wash any underwear in her life.
She watches it, but she doesn't hang it anywhere for people to see.
If you lost a dog, how else are you going to get it home but by hanging your wife's underwear out? I don't understand.
Put like everybody does, put signs.
Put a sign up that says, yeah, my dog's missing.
Put ads in the newspaper.
No,
we've done that.
That's the old way of doing it. That's the old way of doing it.
We have rules against that in our association. You can't put
on you have rules
sign.
Against... You have rules against putting ads in the paper? That's what we did once, and we recover our dog.
I lost my dog. Do you want me to put an ad in the Miami Herald? Is that it? Lost one dog in California. Do you know where it is in Miami? I don't think so.
Put the sign whatever the dog was lost.
We have rules against it in our homeowners association.
Rules against putting signs in the newspaper?
So you can't put up yellow ribbons, and you can't put up a sign that says I lost a dog, but you can hang unwashed underwear from trees.
You know, Phil, this is character assassination. We're trying to get our dog back.
But hanging smelly underwear on trees? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is just unbelievable.
I think you're focusing too. The underwear is slightly stained, but it...
Slightly stained with what?
Oh, God! God!
In the front or in the rear?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
What are you asking my wife, sir?
I couldn't care less, but my wife doesn't even stain it. I mean, she does. I'm sure that she'll send it. Let me see it. Hang it outside.
Here's the thing. Dogs are attracted...
We know, by scent. We got all the thing about the... The problem we're having, Ms. Dooley, is that you'll go ahead and hang your underwear, but a lady who wants to hang yellow ribbons for a boy that's MIA, you won't let him do that.
It is against our CCNRs.
Hanging underwear isn't?
There is nothing in the CCNRs about hanging underwear. You're right, there isn't.
Is there anything against hanging yellow ribbon?
Yes, it's out-of-season decoration.
How about the decoration of dirty underwears?
That's not decoration.
What are decorating? Porno or something?
No, it's not decoration. It's to get a dog back. We lost a dog that we love very much. I lost my son in March.
Do you ever start to think that maybe the dog left because of the smell of the underwear?
Aren't you funny?
Good line, sir. Very good. There's Bobby Dooley by request on the Phil Hendry Show. So that was from the very beginning, actually, of 2003, and it's requested tonight by... You know, it's actually on our Best of 2003 CD. So you can pick that one up. What's that one called, 2003?
Dirty Panties.
The cut's called Dirty Panties. Our 2003 is world famous. Death of Talk Radio. So you get our 2003, our 2004, anything you want right there on our website. By the way, Rosie O'Donnell says that Kirstie Alley is lying about her weight being 209 pounds. Rosie says Kirstie's closer to 300. Apparently they share a steam room together or something? They sit around with just the towels wrapped around there and just...
Yeah, so anyway, Bob, about that real estate deal.
What, a Tony Soprano there with the cigar? And Ralphie? Anyway, it's a cool thing, man. You know, it's very good. But I think that the idea of celebrities having television shows based upon their lives, now they're getting the point. Now, see, they're understanding. Maybe the movie they made was interesting. Maybe the TV show was good. We don't know. But your lives are more interesting than anything you do. That's why I get guys like De Niro or Nicholson or whoever. They don't even want to be in the newspaper with any news other than what they do in a film. Because if their personal lives make it out there... Who's the woman that's, like, so overexposed right now? That chick from Desperate... What's the show on Sunday night? Desperate Housewives? Longoria? Is that her? Man, she's everywhere. Whoever that guy is that's doing your career right now, hon, you better tell him to crank it down about 150 notches. Turn it down to 11. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Darren Brown joins me. Darren is the program director of C93 in Pierce, South Dakota, one of our affiliates, one of our 105 affiliates. We're very grateful to have every one of them. Darren, thank you for joining us on the program, and very good to have you on the air with us.
Phil, it's always a great pleasure to be on the program. Thank you.
So how are things there, and how is our show doing for you?
Well, we could be happy with the Phil Hendry Show at our radio station. We have 105 affiliates. We're really happy that we're one of them. Well, I'd make a suggestion to you, though, Phil. You know, maybe you're really getting that in Hollywood. I was wondering whether or not you'd like to talk a little about the Academy Awards.
About the Academy Awards?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch the Academy Awards.
Well, you didn't watch the Academy Awards. You know, Phil, one of the things I like to tell a lot of the people who work for me, you know, I wouldn't want to tell a guy like you because you've been in the business a long time. But I don't know about a lot of the things. But I don't know.
Yeah, I know I should stay on top of stuff, but I didn't watch him because
I hate this guy.
Shut up, bud.
You say something, Phil?
No. I be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch the Academy. I'd been out with my wife all that weekend, and I was just tired. And plus, I thought Passion of the Christ was a good movie.
Well, the Passion of the Christ was a good story, but people love to hear stories about Hollywood. And I don't know why you were talking about
it. What is with his voice?
Be quiet, bud. Nothing. Hey, Darren, I want to ask you something, man.
Yeah, Lil.
Did you go to broadcasting school?
Sure did, Phil. I went to broadcasting in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Why? You do about the Nazi job, Lil?
You know, every week I talk to you, man, and your voice begins to get more surreal. It's almost as if you're mutating into a new species or something, okay?
Well, let me ask you a little thing. You don't talk about this, right?
I want to kill him.
Shut up, bud.
What?
Nothing. I didn't talk about Chris Rock. No, I thought Chris Rock did a great job. I think Chris Rock's a very funny guy. I think it's an impossible job to do that.
Well, when you talk about the Academy Awards, I think you're really on it, too, because the people want to know about the song.
I'm going after him.
Bud, stay away from the phone.
I'm going after him.
Mr. Brown, I don't. This won't mean anything to you. Run.
What are you talking about?
Run! Run now!
I'm going after him right now.
Get out of the phone, bud.
Oh, my God, who's this freak?
I'm going to kill him.
Oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Bud's killing him.
You idiot! Quit talking like a freak! Well, you're the freak. You're the guy with the plate in his head.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I did. And I don't ever want to see, nor do I never want to hear about him again.
Well, he'll be back next week, bud. You can't kill him.
I'll tell you one thing, Phil. It's cold here in South Dakota.
Yeah. It's February, Jackball.
I gotta get out of this phone.
Well, come on out of there. What are you gonna do with the body?
I'm gonna leave it here under his Porsche.
Okay.
All right, let me get... Oh, my God.
What?
I can't get out.
Why?
I'm stuck.
Every freaking week with you going into the phone, okay?
You want a soda or something? There's a machine here.
Dip for bite the freaking soda. Get out of there.
I can't get out of the phone.
Well, the cops are going to be there in a minute. They're going to find that guy's body under his Porsche again.
Let me kick the legs under.
Every week with you and that guy.
I can't get out.
Looks like you're stuck in South Dakota, man. Have yourself a real nice winter there.
Oh, well. Hey, how about if you scream into the phone and push me out? Seriously.
You want me to what?
Scream into the phone and push me out.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, David?
I think he's got an idea. Scream into the phone. It'll get him out of there.
Well, how do I do that?
Just scream, and the vibration of your voice will push me out through the fiber optics until I pop out the other side in California.
What do you think this is, a cartoon or something?
Phil, it's worth a try.
All right, here goes. You ready?
Now, hold on. Let me just grab onto something.
Ah!
Oh, that did it.
What are you doing here?
You pushed me out, too.
All right, before we get any sillier, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, could you do that for me? Just blow into my...
All right, never mind. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
From the director of Born on the 4th of July, JFK, Platoon, Nixon, now comes a whole new story of deceit, of lies, a whole new story of the real America. Oliver Stone's Farm. Yes, Farm. Starring Willem Dafoe, John C. McGinley, and all them cats.
Well, Ben, looks like maybe I want to go out and get the back 40 nailed up. You know, I'm going to try and get those pigs into farm and everything.
You know, you've been playing that Farmer in the Dell act with me for a long time, Sam, but the fact is, your farm's actually a nuclear reactor, isn't it?
Holy Jesus, you're spiffed!
Honey, when are you going to get the barn door fixed?
Look, baby, you and I both know that John Ashcroft and George Bush have been keeping Arabs and Arab Americans in gulags and concentration camps for the last 3.5 years. Now, where are the Arabs hiding on this farm?
Honey, this is not a concentration camp for Arabs. It's a farm.
You're lying! You're a liar! Oliver Stone's Farm. The lying, deceitful sacks of crap that run America's farms are hiding Arabs, torturing Iraqis, and generally making life hellish for anybody with a rag on their head. Farm. Yes, Oliver Stone. When's he gonna give it a rest? Another Holy Jesus, I wish you'd just give up production. Yes, Oliver Stone's Farm. Farm in theaters this fall.
Rated R. No one under 17, men with a thing, or follow through and attend.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Metroplex 3. Remember that we honor senior discounts. In Theater 1, playing now, Troy, starring Biff McGillicuddy, rated PG. In Theater 2, Troy.
Get out of here. I don't do that anymore, man. Don't they have something you can do? You can go online. You can do anything you want now. But back not long ago, 2 years ago, you're still on the phone there, you know.
Thank you for calling the Metroplex 2, where every day is a wonderful day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get to it. Naturally, the theater that your movie's playing in, it's way at the end of the thing she's saying. don't know what movies are up. Marie and I haven't been to a flick. Hey, wait a minute. You know what time of year this is? This is January. No, this is February. Oh, the Academy Awards are already done. Duh. I didn't see one movie. I got that Screen Actors Guild card, right, that I got to have when I do these voiceovers. The one thing that it gets me is free movies between January and March. I didn't go see one movie. Oh, man, I forgot. I'm totally movie clueless. But anyway, yeah, you call them up and...
Thank you for calling the Metroplex.
You know, I...
On Theater One, Rollerball, rated PG.
What's the new one that's coming out? Oh, Longest Yard. I got to go see that. With Adam Sandler. Now, Longest Yard was a great flick, and if anybody can improve it, I think that this is a good cast they got. I guess Burt Reynolds also plays in it. I think he plays one of the older coaches or something now. But the basic premise of the film, it's a great movie. This guy, football hero, drives his car into a canal after beating his girlfriend up or something. I don't know. He's living in Florida, and Burt Reynolds did play football at University of Florida, or Florida State, I should say. In any event, the premise is this guy goes to prison, and he's in prison, and he's on a chain gang, and it's a pretty meager and horrific existence, kind of Cool Hand Luke-ish, if you saw that movie, the chain gang, and they got the bad prison warden and the whole, you know, I can be a nice guy, or I can switch, you know, that guy. And so anyway, find out he's a football star. And they come up with a game between them and the guards. And if they win, do they get... So I guess it's just one day they can drink beer or something. I don't know what. But make a long story short, they have this football game between the inmates and the guards. But the way the movie was set up, you really... Now, it sounds kind of stupid. Like, well, I know how this is going to end. You know, in other words, we've seen so many of those long, drawn-out, dramatic things. But back then, it was, wow, this is going to be very cool. And you actually were on the edge of your seat. Who's going to win? Partially because the guards were doing all kinds of dirty, nasty things. Now, in the movie were all kinds of guys. That big dude from Hill Street Blues. And then there was a Joe Capp, the former football player, is in it. Then some bald-headed dude who was so evil that the guards had to toss the keys to him so he'd unlock his own shackles. They didn't want to get near him. And he was on a team. He knew all kinds of karate. And then, you know, that big, tall, freaky-looking guy with the space between his teeth that they had in all those movies? He's in it. The big giant guy. I saw that guy in the Salt Shaker coffee shop in Pasadena one morning. I was sitting there, and I'm having a coffee, and all of a sudden, that big, tall cat with that... He was in, like, all those movies, you know? I look up, and he smiled at me.
Hi.
You know, and he sat down and had himself a
bowl of oatmeal or something. I don't know what.
I said, damn, man, that's that big guy that's in all those movies. I don't know his name.
Was it a James... Jaws from James Bond?
Was that guy Jaws? In Goldfinger? I don't think so, man. Now, this guy, you'd know him to see him. He was in a bunch of Clint Eastwood. You know, the big, tall guy. He ain't the guy in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now, that big, tall guy was a different big, tall guy. If you remember the beginning of the movie, he says, guns or knives, Butch. That guy, I think, played Lurch in the Addams Family. That big, tall guy.
How many big, tall guys are there?
There's always big, tall guys someplace.
Andre the Giant?
Nah, it wasn't Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant ain't no actor. This guy's an actor. I don't know, but there's three or four big, tall guys, and I keep getting them mixed up. The guy from the Addams Family, I'm pretty sure, was the same guy that was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, who says, guns or knives, Butch, and Butch walks up and kicks him straight in the gonadials. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He walks right up, he says, let's get the rules straight first, and he goes, what rules? And Butch kicks him right there in the Royal American, and the guy hits the dirt.
Oh, it was a Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan?
A big, tall guy.
This guy's a white guy.
He was in Space Jam.
I thought Space Jam was a freaking cartoon. It wasn't Michael Jordan, I don't know who it was. It was just some big cat. I guess I could go on IMDb and quit fooling around here. 1-800-44... Why don't you do it, man? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This is what I was talking about. Here it is. The Surreal Life. I didn't even know the show was... I'd heard of the show, but I was... for some reason, I spaced on it. I didn't know what it was about. It says, once they were superstars, now they're shoved back in the spotlight as they share a home in a series of outrageous and life-changing events for 10 days and nights. The Surreal Life follows six very different pop culture figures as they move into a house and room together in Los Angeles. Now, do you know who some of these people are? One of them is that poor little guy from, I don't want to say poor little guy, from, you know, the Mini-Me, that Vern Troyer dude. But they were, according to Mark, they were interviewing the guy. He said, I'm making more money now in a Surreal Life than that cheap freak. Or no, he didn't say cheap. He said that, he didn't say bastard. He said, Michael Myers ever paid me. How'd you like to be him? But that Richard Kyle was the name of the big tall guy, right? Because I just looked him up. Big tall cat. He was in all these westerns. He was all these Jaws and that James Bond thing. Millions of movies. I hope that guy is making, he's still alive. He's from Detroit. Probably lives in Hollywood still. I hope you're making a ton of dough, man. Would you like to be that guy, his agent? Got another job for you, Dick. We got a, let me guess, Jack and the Beanstalk? Yeah, it's, oh, okay, well, that's great, man. Oh, what, oh, look at you getting all, ooh, I don't want to play any more big guy roles, huh? You are 7'2". I understand that I'm 7'2". Do you think maybe I could just get a regular guy role? What do you mean? Yeah, sure, you look like just like the guy next door. 7'2", fixing the storm gutters. Hey, honey, I'll go out and mow the lawn. All 7'2" of me. Come on, I told you when I signed you, kid, I was going to make you big. Really big. I wouldn't make you as big as you are now, but I could get close. Ha ha. Well, you're asking for it, all these complaints about the jobs I'm getting you. Jack and the Beanstalk this. Me and the Elephant that. I'm surprised they didn't get that Me and My Giant bullcrap Billy Crystal did. No, he wanted that big ape from Slovakia. Oh, if he wants some big ape from California, call me. Hey, how about giving me a gig on that Surreal Life, man? Nah, you're too weird for that. Oh, thanks. Now, here's what they got on that Surreal Life. They got Adrienne Curry, winner of America's Next Top Model competition. Another reality show that bit the dust. Christopher Knight of the ever-popular The Brady Bunch. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that's the guy who was the middle brother. Then there is Go-Go's guitarist Jane Weidlin. Oh, now that's disappointing. Why? Does she think she's, well, what the hell? You know what? Who am I to judge? You remember when What's-Her-Ass did all of the infomercials share? Everybody was bagging on her for doing infomercials. I thought, no, this is pretty cool. I like it. She's on there hawking cosmetics, doing the things she wants to do. Who says you can't do it? Rap artist DeBrat, supermodel Marcus Schreckenberg, wrestling star China Doll, Vern Troyer, and other has-beens. Next week, Brad Pitt. No, it's just, of course it's... ridiculous. Brad Pitt is not a has-been. He's a big star. Just because nobody wants to go see his movies doesn't mean he's not popular. All right, 1-800-449. Oh, look at this. Next season, Ron Jeremy. There's only one thing people want to see him do, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with a woman. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.